You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. This show is called Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And boy, do I have friends. I have a lot of friends.
You got tons of friends,
I'm grateful. Sita. I love friends and I love family. Ellen Little is here co-hosting with me. And I also have a very good friend of mine, who's going to be calling in. Sandra Fatmi is calling in later. She's a community activist, an advocate, a leader, an ambassador, and she has a passion of hers, and that is to help other people. We also have with us, I have to say, my friend, my guru for Canine Commandos, Virginia Hamilton, is here too. And she's going to be talking later today about saving animals. I wrote up my Facebook post this morning, and my husband just loved it because it says, she loves animals. She loves people. She is a person that spreads compassion and goodwill in our community, but she also does not eat animals or wear them.
That's right.
I thought that was really, really neat. And everybody loves that. So Virginia is here, and then we have Sandra's going to be calling in. But as usual, Ellen and I have a few kitchen table topics that we talk about in the beginning of the show. And one of them is, on Facebook, everyone is talking about the law that the governor signed about gun control, common sense approaches to gun control. And it is a start.
True.
Personally, I think it should have gone a little bit further to ban the assault rifles. Yeah. But you know what? Everything in time, I hope and I pray. Because I have a lot of friends who are teachers, and they really don't want to carry a gun to school.
And nor should they. They're not... You have to be in the profession to know how to use that type of machinery. And it's just crazy. And well, the other part is, too, is I don't think people have read the Florida state law and the statutes enough to understand what exactly we're up against. You may not even realize that you're able to go anywhere and buy a rifle or a weapon of destruction like that and not even need a permit. So you could go to a gun show. There is no background check. There's nothing. So we got a long way to go to making sure that people are safe.
I like the idea that there's a 3-day waiting period for most purchases of long guns. I love the idea that they raised the minimum age for buying these weapons to 21. I like the idea that the possession of bump stocks are banned. And the thing is, if somebody wants to commit harm, if they want to harm somebody, they will do it.
Absolutely.
Even if they have to wait a year, they'll plan it and they'll do it. But it is a start, and I have a lot of my friends had called and asked me that we should do a show about teachers who don't want to carry guns and why. And it's simple. People feel like, why don't we just have more law enforcement officers at the schools, in the hallways, in front of the schools?
Retired military.
let the teachers teach.
Right.
A teacher shouldn't have to worry about whether she's going to get shot in the leg while she's teaching mathematics. And God knows we need people to teach math and English now.
Right.
We have children that are not learning how to write even penmanship anymore, mm-hmm. right?
That's right?
So that was one of the things over the weekend. And a lot of people were pro and against. And it's like, all right, at least we have a start for it. Because after the Pulse nightclub shooting, after that terrorist attack, a lot of us thought our governor was going to do something then. And they didn't. So these 14 children at Marjorie Stoneman High School got mowed down, and finally they said, let's do something. So we'll see. Maybe in a few months.
But we can't let the foot off the gas. Everybody needs to stay involved. Everybody needs to get these laws changed.
Well, I think like Virginia was saying earlier, it is because of the children. We have some really great activists that were born out of such tragedy. And they're not going to sit down. They're going to keep talking, and they're going to let people know how they feel whether it's gun control or the environment or Planned Parenthood, whatever it is, they're going to be speaking.
Right.
You know, we just can't say we care about things and then we don't act, you know. So that was one thing.
And just think, I mean, the greatest the acts of terrorism that have happened on U.S. soil have happened in these children's lifetime. You know, 9/11 happened in their lifetime. So this is, you know, this is kind of all they know.
Right.
So thank goodness that they're being advocates.
And then the other topic I thought we should touch a little bit about, I was listening this morning to a report about the war in Syria. And I'm like, where is our world? You have little children screaming. You have doctors who are saying there aren't enough doctors in underground. And the doctors are having to choose between which life to save and which life not to save based on the medical supplies that they have. And I'm like, you know, at some point you have to blame the world community for allowing wars to take place on God's magnificent planet. When does it stop? I mean, sometimes I feel like we have the senses to communicate. We have the sense to feel and touch and see and talk and sit down with each other and figure out what's not happening and what's happening.
And help out our brother.
And, you know, and for some reason, it seems as though the powers to be, it's about contracts and, you know, ammunition and bombs and military upgrade and downgrade and whatever. And in the meantime, you have little children screaming. And the good Lord knows here in America, if something happens, like the shooting at Marjorie Stoneman High School, we have counselors in the United States. We have That's people right. who can volunteer to hold somebody's hand. We live in the greatest nation in the world. Mm-hmm. But in those countries, those children have nobody.
That's right.
They're screaming into the night. Their relatives are dying. And I just feel at some point we have to come together as a world community and say, let's talk.
Yep.
So I'm kind of glad that they said President Trump was going to talk to the guy in North Korea.
Yes.
To me, if you're going to communicate, talk, right? So that's one thing I was really concerned about. I just can't see the earth being bombarded like this and assaulted. It's not right.
Well, and all the other countries around too need to, because they're going to get sucked into it just like we are getting sucked into
well,
it.
Well, you know, some people say that war is good because it revives the economy. I don't think so. I think for every life lost, if you care about life, whether it's a life in the United States or it's a life around the world, a life is a life. And,
well, and we're smarter now.
We should be at all costs.
We know how to make money.
Well, at all costs, we should try to educate people all over the world, whether it's with trade or academic or sitting down and speaking with people, how to open a business, how to speak to your children, how to plan your families, how to avoid war. I blame the governments in most countries that can't sit down and talk about what's happening in their nations. Why do you need the big, bad assault weapons, you know, whether it's here in the United States or elsewhere? Just killing people, it's not right. So I was listening to the scream of that child from Syria, and I thought, at some point, we're going to have to stop that.
Yeah.
I don't know when and how, but, I mean, whether the Syrian government and all the powers to be, something has to be done. So yeah. it's like these wars are forgotten. We've been in Afghanistan over 15 years.
I was going to say 18
years. We've been in Syria so many years yeah. where, you know, it's like, when does it stop, right?
Yeah. And there's no resolution.
And there's no blame. There's no blame.
Well, there's no resolution. I mean, what's happened?
Right.
what's a
So those of us who have a voice, we need to speak up, whether it's for people here or people around the world. I think that's what having a voice and giving voice to the voiceless means. And on the phone, we have Sandra Fatney. Sandra, I wasn't sure how to say your last name, so would you please tell us?
Oh, first of all, thanks for having me. Yes, you are correct. It's actually Fatney.
Well,
yes.
Well, thank you for calling in and taking the time out of your busy day. Tell our listening audience on AM 1510 WWBC on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about yourself. We already threw out a few things about there that you're an advocate and you're a woman with a passion to save the children in Pine Hills and here in Florida. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, just as you rightly said, I'm an advocate and definitely stand up for what truly needs to be done in our communities, and that's to use our voice for good. So it's so funny that you said that, because that is what I'm using my platform to do. I am the president of the Peruvian American Chamber of Commerce of Florida, president of the Pine Hills Community Council, which is the advocacy group for the 72,000 residents of Pine Hills, I am the president of United Foundation of Central Florida, which is my youth arm and my heart, which is helping to empower our young people. I am also the secretary for the Jamaica Diaspora Advisory Board member for the 13 southern states, so we have access to up to 2 million or more Jamaicans.
And people say, I am busy. Lord, you are more busy than I am. Do you have anyone advocating for the for animals and animal shelter and training of animals in your area? Because our second guest today, my friend Virginia Hamilton, that's what she does.
Oh, awesome. Definitely, we have a couple of young people that are definitely interested in being a veterinarian. And also with animals, we don't have anyone that I know of here in our area. It doesn't mean that we don't have anyone. I just don't know of them. So definitely being educated and partnering up to see what we can do to save our animals is very, very important. So I'm glad that I'm able to make that connection.
So maybe we can share the information with you later on. So as a community advocate, you have a passion for what you're doing in Pine Hills. How did you get started being a community advocate? And because your degree is in business administration from New York.
Yes.
And you're also a native of Kingston, Jamaica, but you found your passion in giving back. How did this happen?
Well, it's so funny because, you know, a lot of people, when something doesn't work out the way they want it to, they go into a corner and probably start getting depressed about it. I didn't do that. I found a solution to my problem. I always wanted to have children and did not have children. And I found that there was a need in the community, and why not be the change that I want to see in empowering our young people? So I went out there, and I got myself associated with all the different organizations that are out there that's doing something. And when I found that that need still wasn't being fulfilled, I started my own foundation to do that, but still stayed engaged with those that had an interest but didn't have the time to get it done but had some of the resources. So that's me aligning myself with all the different groups that brought about the change that I wanted to see. So it's pretty easy, believe it or not.
Yeah, and you have 25 years experience in finance, marketing, human resources, business development. How do you use those skills to empower the children that you're trying to help in Pine Hills?
Okay, so what we do is, in our after-school mentoring program and enrichment program that we have, I bring those skills to the table in talking to them about financial literacy and what's the next step, because that's not taught in school. And they follow a curriculum that needs to add financial literacy, but at this time, that's not being done on a very big scale. So when by the time we get to our young people and we're opening their eyes, it's, oh my goodness, I wish I'd known this earlier. Or some say, oh, I never knew this is how money worked. Never thought about it this way. A lot of them, if you give them $50 right now, they spend the entire $50 immediately. Nothing is ever saved. So we're trying to teach them by utilizing my skills that I have from those many years of banking to empower them. And I see a lot of change in them because they're now starting to get jobs where part-time jobs, and they're spending and saving some of their money wisely.
Yeah, wow. That's I agree with you. I think sometimes we don't give children the tools that they need to go out and succeed, the skills that they need. And I remember way back then, I know that we had talked about this before on the show, when we had the junior achievement that used to come into the schools and teach children how to open a bank account, and they still have that. They still have that, which I think people should take advantage of those things.
Yeah, I don't think we have home ec. I think that was the kind of thing.
Home economics. Yeah, they used to have that too,
like
way back then.
Like balance a budget, and, you know, unfortunately, it was probably a whole lot more cooking.
Keyboarding.
And keyboarding.
Yes, yep. That's our friends pitching in our conversation.
Okay.
So now you're from Jamaica, and I think you and I were talking this morning. I think one of the things that people don't understand is those of us who choose to immigrate to the United States, we do give up a lot emotionally. We give up our friends, our villages, our families, watching our cousins grow up and their children. It's a lot, but we're here in the United States, and we give back whatever we can, and it's good for financial gain. Sometimes it's not as great because you do miss the people you leave behind, but there are so many of us that assimilate into this culture and give back, and you're one of those, just like myself. Do you ever do anything for the village you left behind or the town you left behind? Do you partner with any businesses to help the community you left behind in Jamaica?
Well, yes. As a part of, I was the president of the Jamaican American Association, and there was a children's home that burnt, 75% of the children's home, Maxfield Children's Home burnt down in Jamaica and needed to be rebuilt. So we raised funds and took the funds down to Jamaica. As part of the Jamaica diaspora, we're there on an annual basis, giving back, doing service days down there while we're there. This year, we're actually doing something here. And whenever we do an event here, this year will be in Atlanta, we try our best to give back through whatever proceeds it is that we get in any way that we can. There's a list sometimes that's sent out of what the needs are, and we do our best to fulfill those needs. So whether it's a hospital or it's the police department needing tires for the vehicles to put the police cars on the road, we get the opportunity to give back in several ways. So yes, we do.
That's awesome. And, you know, one of the best ways we can help, too, here in the United States is to empower and motivate our young people to register to vote. Whatever political party they want to vote for, whatever candidates, that's fine. But I think too many immigrants, sometimes, not all, but a lot of them sit back and they're on the fence. And for some unknown reason, a lot of them don't want to get involved in a campaign, or they don't want to get involved in voting. And I think it's up to people like you and I to encourage people from elsewhere that, yes, you should register to vote, because you do make use of the roads and the education system and the hospitals, and you want more teachers in schools, and you want more law enforcement officers on the street. You want a good community, safe environment. You want, you know, the lagoon to be cleaned. You want commercial fishermen to have a job. Whatever it is, I think it's up to us to empower people and motivate them that they should register to vote as well.
Well, I can tell you that that's something that has been a pet peeve of mine for many, many years, and it's a lack of education. The Bible talks about you perishing for a lack of knowledge, and it is so right. And when we do our town hall forums, when we do Know Your Rights and invite people to come out, they don't come out, even if you're feeding them. Again, that lack of knowledge to say, my vote won't count. You know, it doesn't matter. It's not affecting me anyway. They don't understand that our local elections are one of the most important, not just the national elections, which we need you to vote in. The next thing they don't understand is NPA, no party affiliation, is not the way to go. You have to choose one, believe it or not. Yes, you do. And you have to choose one because primaries that take place allow you to select who will make it to the final election. And if
whose name is going to be on, I agree, whose name is going to be in the ballot. And that's, you know, I've met a lot of people from the Caribbean, and I'm ashamed to say that a lot of them will say to me, well, I don't get involved in politics. And then I say to them, well, do you have a stop sign at the end of your street, or do you just go straight? Oh, well, there's one. I said, okay, do you know that politically somebody had to fight for that to be there? Does your children attend public school? Yes. And why? Are you concerned about the class size? Yeah. Well, do you like clean water? Yeah. Do you like having bright futures for your children? I said, all these things, politics do matter. From the minute you wake up, every dollar you spend, and then you change your mind a little bit. But what I do notice is a lot of them feel like because they're here in the United States, somebody else should do the heavy lifting for them. And I'm like, no. If you are a naturalized citizen and you have the right to vote, you should get yourself to the voters registration booth and you should vote. You should register to vote and you should show up for the primaries as well as local elections and national elections, because some of us who fight the good fight, we get a little tired of doing all the lifting for those who don't, and they shouldn't complain. If they don't vote, they shouldn't complain.
That's right.
Well, I don't tolerate it at all. I'm no nonsense about that. If you did not vote or exercise your right to vote, you don't have a right to complain. You really don't.
Okay, so let's change gears already. Miss Sandra Fatmi, who's calling in, my friend who's an advocate and an educator and giving back so much to your community in Pine Hills. You also wrote a book, and it's called Raising James. So you have to add author to your many hats. So tell us a little bit about your book.
Oh, no, I actually have a book. I haven't really published it yet. Is there another Sandra Fatmi out there? Tell me no.
Probably is, because a lot of people have been sending me messages that they want to call in on the show. It's possible. So
it's possible.
You know, everybody has a twin. I went to India Fest on Saturday, and I could swear everybody came up to me and told me I have a twin.
So, oh, I'm
yeah, you've got
you
like
do.
What 11 what? Sisters?
About 11 sisters, she said.
No, she said everybody tells me I have about 10 or 11 sisters. So, were you thinking? Oh, but were you thinking of writing a book, and you haven't published it as yet?
Oh no, I have started to write a book. I have not published it yet, and it's about our young people and empowering them, because they're truly my heart, and I want the proceeds definitely to go towards the foundation for young people to continue what it is that we do. So, no, I have not published it yet, but yes, I have started to write a book. I have.
What motivated you to start writing your book?
Because I realized that mentoring has positively affected the lives of so many. If you talk to a lot of successful people, they'll tell you that they had a mentor or mentors along the way that helped to change their lives. I can talk about so many that I've met along my journey, and I can talk about so many that have told me that I've empowered them along the way. And I've seen it change. All you need to do is give children hope. A lot of people think it's about throwing a lot of money behind children and buying them things. That's not what it's all about. You have to show them love. You have to show them attention. You have to show them structure. There's so many things that goes into making a child's life successful, or get them along the path to make it successful.
I think, and you know, when we had the riots in Baltimore, I think Colin Powell came out and he said one word, and it was so powerful. He said, what children need is guidance.
Yes.
And they need, you know, parents to take personal responsibility for the children they choose to bring on earth. And that is so true, because oftentimes, you know, we hear a lot about Pine Hills in the news, and we hear a lot when we hear the bad things, when we hear there's somebody who's shot, we hear when there's a robbery, but sometimes we don't hear the good things about Pine Hills. So tell us some of the good things about your community.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, we have the Pine Hills Community Council, which is the advocacy group there. We have been around for 42 years. I've been the president. This is my third year. We take the time to work on behalf of the community with Orange County, with our law enforcement, with sister organizations, to keep our community a safe place to live, work, and play. So, with that being said, what do? Law enforcement, whenever we have our monthly meetings, they come out to inform us of what it is that has taken place that we need to know and get out there in our community. So one of the biggest slogans that you may hear from time to time is, if you see something, say something. And I don't think a lot of people understand that. Number two, during Christmas time, when you purchase things, don't leave those big boxes with your new 55-inch TV hanging outside your door to be picked up by our garbage company, because that indicates that you've just bought a new TV and it's sitting in your house waiting for someone else to come and take it.
That's a good idea. I never thought of that.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, I know.
That's a red flag. Come rob me.
It is a red flag. It's an invitation. Absolutely. It's an invitation for those that specialize in that profession, which is not a good one. Also, streetlights. It's very important that we have streetlights in our community, because that deters crime. When you see a dark place, it's an invitation for you to come on in, that it's okay to come into this particular location. When we have liquor stores that are coming to our neighborhood, pawn shops, close to our schools, we advocate for those things. We have people that have lived in Pine Hills for over 50 years and take pride in living in Pine Hills. We have our mentoring programs, after-school programs. Evans High School has done such an amazing job with partners to help change the lives of these 2,500 students that attend Evans High School every single year. We have our middle schools, our elementary schools that are working to do their best to put out
and teachers
human beings and teachers in our community. So we take pride in our community. The NID, which is along the Pine Hills Road corridor, takes care of our businesses. There's a grant that's available if you're on Pine Hills Road, up to $5,000, that can help to beautify the front of your building, the front of your location, to help keep Pine Hills uplifted.
You know, my mother used to tell us that a lot could be done with a broom, a mop, some seeds to plant, some flowers, and a gallon of paint. And,
absolutely.
You know, and she used to say, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness. And sometimes absolutely. I wonder on some communities, if one person starts beautifying the neighborhood and start taking pride in the neighborhood, then everybody else does. Because for the few that don't, they give the community a really bad name. And so sometimes absolutely. I think, you know, our show, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we use it to educate and give out valuable information as well. And it's so interesting to have somebody like you call in and talk about all the things that are near and dear to us, about voting and taking personal responsibility for your neighborhood and lifting up your community and staying engaged. So we really appreciate you calling in. Do you have a website that someone could look up and see all the great things you're doing, or how would somebody contact you?
Okay. Well, I have different websites for all the organizations.
Yeah, maybe that's why we got this email saying that you're a writer already when you're writing a book. You do a lot. You have a lot of stuff. You do.
I have a lot. I think definitely by phone would be one of the easiest ways to definitely get me. And my direct cell phone number is area code 770. I was in Atlanta for some time prior to moving here. 789-7004.
Well, thank you. And do you have any upcoming events that you would like to share with our audience here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends?
Absolutely. I am actually working on taking our young people to Washington, D.C., March 21st through 25th. So we have an ongoing fundraiser until then so that we can get 25 to 30 of our young people there. So that's ongoing, and definitely you can reach out to me at the number just provided to talk to me about how you can be a part of the solution in helping to get our young people to do a college tour, and they want to participate with the Parkland young people with the march that's taking place on March 24th.
So give us that number again, and I'll post it.
Sure, I truly appreciate that. 770-789-7004, and we're looking to take 25 to 30 young people up to Washington, D.C., and we're going to participate in the march that's taking place March 24th for our young people that no longer want to go to school scared and face the possibility of not coming back home.
Wow. It's amazing that in today's day and age, people still have to worry about their children going to school and not coming back home. So, Ellen,
yeah,
what a nice segment. This was such a great segment to have you call in. Is there anything else you would like to speak about? We have 30 seconds left, and then we have to go to commercial break.
I just want to take the time to thank you for having me on. I really do appreciate and love what you're all doing there. Thank you for reaching out. Thank you for being the change that you want to see in your community. And I think that's a well-spent 30 seconds thanking you for doing what you do.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. You know, it's not often we get people that thank and appreciate. This morning I put up a Facebook post, actually, and I said, everybody at the end of the day want to be loved, appreciated,
yes,
respected, a safe environment. And they want to know that their life is worth something. They want to be valued. That's all human being wants. We want to be valued. No matter where you live, you want your life to be valued, not just to yourself, but to your community as well. So
amen.
Thank you for giving back and assimilating into this culture, my Jamaican man from Jamaica. And I will keep you posted about the gala that we're having here in Melbourne on July 7th at the Hilton. We're having the Caribbean Association is having a huge gala. We have the band Deja. We have a dinner catered by the Hilton. And we're going to need people to come and dance. We have reggae and calypso, so you might have to show up.
Absolutely. You know that. It's so funny because August 11th, I'm actually going to be a speaker at the Lakeland Jamaican Association. I'm the keynote speaker there for them on August 11th. So I get around.
Girl, well, I'm going to send you the information so you can come and dance, because I know how to do. I could dance to Feeling Hot, 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 and I need a lot of people there. I'm making a conga line, so you'll have to come.
Okay, absolutely. I look forward to it.
All right.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you so much, Sandra.
Thank you so much. Yep.
And we're going to take the time now to get a little thank you from our sponsors that have been supporting Viewpoint with Sita and Friends since the beginning. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, Enso, and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haul away available at a fraction of the cost of most stores, and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud 9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MEDFAST Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral, and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. Sometimes I have to remind myself that we're live on air, and we get about 2,000 downloads a week.
That's right.
And we have a lot of people tuning in to listen to the show. Because we can get carried away talking about a topic like such as gun control.
Yes, absolutely.
Which we all have an opinion about. And it is a lot of different issues to look at. Mental illness, environment, support at home, your environment. Yeah. You are your environment. And,
well,
and Pastor Paul
certainly
is right.
We're
in
not
Chicago, there's a lot of gun violence, and we need people to look at that too. I mean, where are they getting these guns?
And certainly this is the place to open up the conversation. That's why Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is unscripted, try and provide great information. And certainly we're not solving any problems, but we want the conversations to start. That's what we want you to do
well,
there at home.
Well, I think if you have a gift, you take your talent, gift, and ability, whether it is saving the planet, saving the environment, speaking to children, whatever it is up to you not to sit down at home with that gift and not use it. I can cook curry chicken, so I use that.
That's right.
A lot. I use my gift. We also have a friend here. Our friend Virginia Hamilton has a gift, and her gift is to spread kindness and compassion, not just to her students, but to anybody she comes in contact with. And she makes you fall in love with what she's doing, which is she's the founder and president of the Canine Commandos.
Yes.
So welcome to our show, and thank you for being here, because this show is all about empowering people and ourselves and staying engaged in our community.
empowering the children.
That's right. And so you're doing you're doing what a lot of us talk about, but we don't do, which is empower the future, the children of the future.
Yes.
So Virginia, thank you for being here.
Thanks for asking.
Yes, and tell us a little bit about yourself, because we like our guests to talk and tell our listeners what they're doing and how they're doing it and why.
Well, I teach at Quest Elementary School here in Melbourne. I've been teaching for, this is my 26th year, and I teach gifted students, children with upper IQs. In fact, I have 105 kids that I service right now, different grade levels. So when I started teaching gifted 16 years ago, it was mandatory that kids did service learning at that time. So we did the canned food drives and things like that, which is very needed. But then I thought, well, I wanted to find something that the kids would just be excited to work with, memorable, sustainable, and I just happened to be watching Animal Planet Channel, which I love, and there was a trainer on there that said that a lot of times the dogs in the shelters are overlooked for adoption due to lack of training, and that just minutes a day, you can change those behaviors to make them more adoptable, and I thought, wow, my kids would love that. Everybody was on board, and it took off. That was back in 2003, and I started the program. Well, and actually, everything about Canine Commandos is kid-created. The logo, the original website, everything. The name. They came up with the name. So, and I make sure that the kids still continue to maintain the integrity of what the kids, because it's about the kids, too. Everyone thinks it's just about the dogs and the cats, but it's not.
It's all animals.
Yes.
Pretty much. And it's so interesting because you don't eat animals. Nope. You don't wear animals.
Nope.
You don't hurt animals.
Nope.
And your passion is to save animals.
Correct.
You got involved also with the spay neuter organizations, greyhound racing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're really fortunate in that you could combine what you do for the animals and bring it to the classroom as well. That
I'm
is
a lucky girl.
Yeah.
Yes. To have two passions of mine and be able to put them together and just make change.
And is it well received by the parents as well?
Yes. Parents have to chaperone in order for the integrity of the program. So, you know, and that's what the shelters need too. It's one chaperone per five. I tried to have more chaperones, like, hi, Miss Logan, hi, Miss Weber. Well,
yes.
Miss Logan chaperones with me every single month. So, wonderful parents. I you have to have the parents' involvement.
Yeah, if they're not engaged, forget it. I know Ellen loves dogs. You got a new one a few months ago, right?
I did in January. I got her from the Cox Road shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just discussing, we were comparing notes to see if her name was Carla when she was in the pound. She's now named Stevie Nicks. But yes, but the quality of the dog, you could certainly see that the dogs were very well-mannered for being shelter dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So after Virginia had said that they were possibly trained by the Canine Commandos, I was like, that makes perfect sense now.
Yeah, I know we've posted her information online quite a few times, and
yes,
we've tagged her and stuff. So what's new with the Commandos? You know, I don't remember if we asked you the last time you were on the show, how did you come up with the name Canine Commandos?
The kids did. Yeah, we were, you know, brainstorming ideas, and I still remember the child from back in 2003 that came up with it, and you know, we had all kinds, like Project Canine and, you know, all that, and then he came up with Canine Commandos, and we put the top on there, and the kids voted it, and then I had a contest between my kids for the logo, and so the best one that came up, which you see, is the dog with the cape. Very simple, pleasant. In fact, I just spoke to her the other day. She's in college, and we just got magnets, and I sent it to her so that she can have a memory of what she did for the Commandos.
And how awesome, because these young children will become young adults,
mm-hmm,
who will get good jobs and be able to support Canine Commandos later on, hopefully,
mm-hmm,
which is good. I mean, you're planting the seed and just have to water it at this point.
And I just want to do one shameless plug, because on the website is brilliant, by the way, and you've got a lot
so
of great affiliates.
So easy to understand.
Very easy. But two things, Petco Foundation and Chewy, and also Smile Organization through Amazon. So if you shop online with Amazon, you can donate to Canine Commandos just simply by making your normal purchases, and they take a proceed of that, mm-hmm, and send that over to Canine Commandos. Also, if you order pet food through Chewy.com, they'll donate $20 to Canine Commandos, which I just did.
Yes, that'll be your first order.
Awesome.
Yes.
So what's new with the Commandos? What's going on that our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends should know about?
Well, first off, you mentioned Petco. Petco's our biggest fan. And I'll tell you, I don't know that we'd be this far without them. They've just been tremendous support. What's new is that we are now our own nonprofit. That just happened last year. We were at an awards banquet and sitting at a table and talking to all the ladies that were on the table with us. And they said, "You're not a nonprofit?" No, we funnel our funds through another organization. And they told us the reasons why we should be, and they were right. So now all the funds go straight through the Canine Commandos, and we don't have to share the pot, don't have to pay a percentage to run it through there, and we don't have to, we don't have any conflict of going
after
grants.
It's all yours now.
It's all ours.
This is actually something I could speak to Sandra Fatmi later on about, because I don't think they have something like this in the Pine Hills community. So maybe we could partner
up. Teach compassion.
Yeah, it's through animals.
It really
yeah.
is. It is.
So describe a day with the Commandos.
All right. So the schools that are south of 520 all go to South Animal Care Center, which is run by Sheriff Ivy. And the schools that are north go to either Brevard Humane Society or the SPCA in Titusville. So my kids go on a Friday. So we board the bus, we get there at 11 o'clock, and the kids immediately sit down and read to the dogs. We started that program about 2 years ago. So if you want to walk into a shelter and hear a pin drop, that's the best time to do it, because the kids are sitting on the floor. They're like from where I am almost to that, and just getting the dog, because that's one-on-one attention for these dogs. So while the kids are reading to the dogs, we're pulling the dogs outside and connecting them to they're connected to a chain to the fence, and then the leash is connected to their collar, so that when the kids come out and get their dogs, the dogs can't escape there, because we've had that happen before. So while they're reading, we're pulling the dogs, and then I'll say, "Elena, come out with your group, you get this dog," and so on until every group's out there. And then they do basic commands: watch me, sit down, stay, and come. And then the dogs that do very well with that, then we start going into shake and roll over and the playing that. And then when we're done with all that, the dogs go back in and kids clicker train in front of the dog. So if a dog is jumping up down in their run, the child just stands in front of the run, click treat, and when the dog shows its the required behavior that we want. So then we have these gold comment cards that are attached to their paperwork. So when we have trainers that go too. We have two trainers.
One and everything is recorded, evidently, because yes. Later on you're going to have somebody that wants this animal.
Yes.
And so you can show them what you've done.
Yes, yes, yes. And the card not only shows Ellen, when she adopted her dog, that your dog has learned these commands, but also it flags that this dog is really great with children. So, and then the other thing that is really cool is that if the dog is being looked at, the commando that's training the dogs, I'll say, go talk to that public, talk to the person so they can say, this dog is so cool, he did this and this and this, and you're actually selling that dog. But it's also teaching the kids public service, how to speak, reading.
Compassion,
yeah.
Most important.
Oh, yeah, compassion, empathy.
Yes.
Yeah, empathy.
Yeah.
So, and then we go back to the classroom, and then the next Monday, the next school comes in and trains the same dogs, and then Tuesday and Wednesday, and so we have 18 schools that are training right now, and
And how do you measure
service.
This? Yeah, I know. How do you measure the success of the animals?
The cards. So you adopt the dog, and that gold card is in with the paperwork, and then the card is shown to Ellen, if she was adopting Stevie Nicks, and at the very bottom, because we know they're anxious to get the dog out and leave, so there's one sentence on the very bottom of the cards that said, was a factor in adopting the dog because it was trained by the Canine Commandos. It's either yes or no, and then the kids keep track of the percentage. Right now we're at 69% of the dogs that we actually trained were adopted.
Is there a waiting list for dogs that are trained by the Canine Commandos?
No.
So you have more dogs than you have people? Or how does it work?
Well, you know, like my class goes and we do 5 dogs. Mm-hmm. You know, it depends on the size of the class. Some classes are smaller and they do less. So like poor Emerson has been at the South Animal Care Center now for several months. He's been adopted, return, but he is so great with the kids. He just needs to be in a home with one owner, no other dogs. But he's lovable to the point where the kids train him, and then he says, "I'm done," and he lays down and takes a nap in front of them. And here the kids are standing around, you know, but the kids are just in love with these animals as the animals are with them.
Yeah, well, at least I'm grateful that if a person adopts an animal and they cannot take care of them, that they bring it back to the shelter.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes you hear of animals who are abused or left alone or whatever, and it just breaks your heart.
Or used for dog fighting, which is here in Brevard County.
Yeah. I don't understand why we still have that in today's day and age with so many people who are advocating for, against cruelty of animals.
They hide it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's also a political issue, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So that, again, it goes back to voting too.
And the other cool thing is that if they want to come see, if somebody from the public wanted to come see this in person, mm-hmm. right, you have the calendar right on on the website. So you can go to the shelter, you know,
and see what SPCA. See the commandos in action.
Exactly right. So to get back, what date they're there.
To get back to the greyhound racing. So why is that allowed anyways? Is it because people get a thrill from this or what?
Yeah, it's money. Just as in politics, it's all about money.
Yeah, because we've seen those animals on Facebook. Awful. People have posted some of these animals after they're done with. And it's horrible, the bites, the abuse, the body, what happens to it.
Or, you know, the people that raise them and realize they're not going to be good in the races, then they go and shoot them and put them in a hole. I mean, you know, just horrible, horrible stories out there.
You've got some people who are so kind and compassionate, like yourself and my husband, who adores animals.
I know.
And then you've got some that don't really give a care.
Yep.
And it's all about if I can make a buck off this animal running and chasing in this greyhound park.
Well, yeah. Well, that's what started me to become a vegetarian was the greyhound racing. An organization, you know, we had High Lie. And we were at a county commission meeting, and they were going to put, well, you know, when you got High Lie in, everybody had to vote for it. They didn't give the Melbourne community a chance to vote for the racetrack. So a group of us came together. We had an attorney that came up pro bono to fight this, and we collected all this money. We won the first battle, and then we lost the money because of
I don't understand. How do you lose a battle when you show them such graphic pictures of what happens to the animals? Mm-hmm. And people still want to make money off these animals racing at a park. And being, it is abuse, if you ask me.
It is abuse.
From start to finish, from the minute they get out of that, whatever it is, the little gate, till they come back.
It's a psychological issue for the dogs.
But it's big money, unfortunately.
That's all it is.
So let's talk about some of the goals, because I was reading your website, but basically from beginning to end. You've got a lot of goals for the canine commandos.
Yes.
For this year, for the next 5 years. One of them I thought was cool was extending the program into 20% of the school districts in the United States. So this is something you want to take national.
It's a huge goal. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, but you got to find the right person. We just went to Osceola County and met with the director of the shelter there, and their board is considering bringing the commandos out for next year. So, yay, that's a possibility. So that's what it is. It's all word of mouth.
It's word of mouth.
Find out about it.
That's what we do best on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So we have a lot of kids that don't have two parents in a home, or they don't have the guidance that they need, and they're pretty much involved in other things. And then here comes Canine Commandos and says, get involved with us. So what does a kid receive from the experience?
I created this thing called CHECK. It's an acronym, stands for Compassion, Humanity, Empathy, Caring, and Kindness. And we actually do activities in the classroom around CHECK. I am now a certified humane education specialist. It was a 5-course endorsement through the Humane Society of the United States. And I am a member of the Association of Professional Humane Educators. And I was with last week at a conference learning about how to not only just having kids work on issues with the animals, it's also planet and other people, but it's also working on getting them to understand the problems in the world. That means pro-social change. Because my kids right now, my gifted kids, are creating claymation videos on global issues. So I have some kids, you know, like Wallace and Gromit. And so they're making all these videos based on the Wallace and Gromit type. And some kids are doing it on animal abuse. Some are doing it on whales in captivity. Some on smoking. Some on health issues.
So you're really making them
driving.
Think.
Yeah. And creativity.
Wow. And how do you promote the program other than coming on this awesome, fabulous show, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends? How do you plan to promote the program that you're taking this nationwide? as well as what's happening locally?
I have a parent right now that's working on our strategic plan. So that is what I'm going to send to Petco, if you're listening. And I really would love for an organization or a company like that to just take us under their wing.
Are you going to have a dinner or something where we can buy a ticket and show up and some of the proceeds go towards the K-9 Commandos? I knew you were working on that at one point.
Yes, we did.
We should.
Yeah,
you did one, but I didn't think I could make that one. I was in Trinidad or something.
We, like the board meets the second Monday, so we're going to be talking about more things tonight. One of the things that we're going to talk about is a summer camp as well, and that will help bringing in some funding for us to continue. The other thing, too, is I noticed that, like, Sheriff Ivey has a dealership that donates all the food to the animals. So I spoke to somebody at another dealership the other day to see how we could work together for them to support. Because not...
To partner with some people, local people right here in Brevard.
Yes, because on the show, like this, Art Lab, which is the design t-shirt design, heard us and contacted me and said, we want to do your t-shirts at cost. So we got a huge break with that. But, you know, that's what it is people need to hear. And thank goodness for social media like Facebook and LinkedIn, because that's where I made a lot of my connections.
So why do you think a lot more people are not involved and engaged in something so wonderful? Is it because we're not spreading the word, we're not getting the message out, or people just go on with their day-to-day lives and there it is, they just don't care?
Day-to-day lives.
Yeah.
You know, and teachers are so busy. You know, like everybody on the board right now are teachers, and we just lost our executive director. And so one of the things that she was doing as our executive director was, her goal was that we don't do anything except meet as a board, and she took over everything, but we just lost her. And so now it's back to us figuring out, you know, because I
teach all day. How to get the message out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I go home and think about, okay, now it's K-9 Commando hat. I put on my K-9 Commandos hat, you know, but.
It's like me. I have my nursing job, and then we do a lot, all of us. So. What are the stats? What can you provide our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here on WWBC AM 1510 about the stats, dogs per kids?
Right now, since 2003, over 2,500 kids have gone through the program. The neatest thing about the program is the feedback I get. For example, there's a Brevard treatment group home, have boys that have been in trouble with the law, and they stay there for several months. And they were doing the commandos. In fact, I don't know if you've read the book called The Lost Dogs. It's about Michael Vick's dogs. Yeah, if you do, you better have a tissue. But it's really a great book. In fact, I just met one of his dogs when I went to Best Friends Animal Sanctuary. But when the boys leave the school, they have to say something they got out of it. One boy, Jamaican, said that something that he learned was that you need to respect cats and not just only dogs, and that his goal was to go back home and talk to his peers about, we need to stop kicking the cats that are in the community, and we need to start doing something.
Which they do. You know, that was so sad, because I remember growing up in Trinidad and Tobago, and oftentimes people did kick the cats.
Yes.
And there were so many dogs that were just stray all over the place. People really didn't have a lot of compassion for animals. So, I mean, through education, I would love to see these programs, not just in the United States, but all over the world. Because I think if people care about animals, they care about humanity as well.
And
that's proven.
Yes, it is proven. And if you don't, as a child, you know, if you've grown up in an abusive situation, it's usually the animal that's abused first.
Right. So where do you see the K-9 Commandos in the future?
I'd like to see it grow.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more and more kids have the opportunity to, also considering that they're actually working in their community. They are actually out doing something for the community. And then the kids get to go back in the classrooms and do some really cool awareness activities, you know, projects. And all the kids choose what it is what they would like to do.
Do you get a lot of support from your school and the surrounding community? Because, I can't imagine what it is to teach all day, have to grade papers, and you have gifted students, which some of them are a little too smart, if you ask me. Like my granddaughter Madison isn't gifted, and I can't even answer some of her questions sometimes. She just, her thinking is beyond imagination at times. So how do you find the time, and how do you find other people to partner up to help you?
I've been very lucky, because the school board actually has been helping us with this. They're behind us. Dr. Blackburn came to our expo last year. A school board member, Misty Belford, her daughter went through the program And I go and speak in front of the school board for periodically, either yeah. for the commandos, or I've talked about AIM Humane, which is the reading program that we've started. And they're very supportive. You've got to have the support or forget it.
Yeah. I especially like the idea that it does help humanity by being humble.
Yes.
You learn to be humble, and you learn to love again, and you learn to be part of something bigger than yourself. So how do you sell that to somebody who does not want to be involved with animals, and they're afraid of getting a dog bite, or they're afraid of being scratched by a cat? Just somebody who's fearful. What do you say to that person, or parents who are listening?
I have kids that are terrified of animals and still do it. It's just give them time, and the kids are amazing. They're especially if they're big dogs, and the majority of the dogs in the shelters are, as you know, you just adopted Stevie Nicks.
Yep.
Yeah. I still get a kick out of that.
Yeah.
You know, these big dogs, but they're such gentle, and you just have patience, even with the parents. You know?
There's actually a book written by Chuck Tompkins, and he partnered with Ken Blanchard, who did the whole Chicken Soup for the Soul series and all of that. The book is called Well Done, and he's the head trainer at SeaWorld, and he talks about the comparison between working with corporate America or working with people that are, you know, subordinates to you, and working with animals, and how important it is to have your spirit right and have your, you know, have your attitude right.
Yes.
When you're talking to somebody, especially when you're in a work environment, but also the way that these children are learning this because of that dynamic with the animal, because animals want to trust.
Well, it's also, owning a pet is also a cultural experience, because in a lot of cultures, people are figuring out how to feed their family. And you add a pet in the mix, and you have to figure out, where is this pet going to sleep? Who's going to feed it? Mm-hmm. Who's going to take care of it? And I'm speaking from experience, because I know many times we had to worry about where our next meal was coming from. Whereas if you had an animal, my husband always says, if you have an animal, it's part of your family.
That's right.
And you have to take care of it as though it's one of your children. You just can't bring it into your home and ill-treat an animal or abuse it. So what do you say to that? Is it? Have you found it as cultural in some in some ways?
I had a student who came to me. Her dad wanted to get two pit bulls and breed them. And she had said to dad, you know, Mrs. Hamilton talked to us about this, and that, you know, we shouldn't be doing the breeding or whatever. And I said to her, listen, this is your parents. I'm not here to change your parents.
Conflict.
But what I'm here to do is to give you these options and these choices for you to make a decision as what's best for you when it comes to animals. And we went outside at recess, and I saw her picking up a lizard and putting it up the tree so it didn't get stomped over. Little acts like that is adorable.
Right. So give us the website before we go off air for Canine Commandos. And I urge all our listeners, whatever it is, whether it's $1 to $100 or more, whatever it is, if you can help the Canine Commandos, that would be awesome, because they have to buy food, they have to take care of the animals and go on trips.
So two easy ways.
So give us the website one more time.
Two easy ways is just purchase from Chewy.com, purchase your dog food from there.
The website?
Mm-hmm. www.caninecommandos, that's C-A-N-I-N-E, commandos.org.
Excellent. So once again, another great episode of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and I know we'll have some great more guests next week.
Oh, yes, we do. I have tons of people calling and emailing and Facebooking and private messenger. It blows up sometime. No wonder I messed up that one question. But it's okay. When your show's fun and it's scripted, that's what happens.
This is the Christian Voice of Brevard on WWBC 1510 AM.